What's up, guys? Hope you guys are doing super well. Hope you guys are off to a fantastic week so far. This is your host, Cam Wild, and welcome back to another episode of the FIFO Fit Podcast Show, the show where we delve into everything health and fitness and other in the FIFO and mining community. And I share with you guys my thoughts and experiences and also interview some of the leaders in the FIFO and mining community to give you guys the most up-to-date, relevant, and also interesting information to help us change the culture of FIFO. I've got this this mission of mine that I certainly need help with, which is to change the culture on FIFO, change it to one that is abundant with health and fitness and health and wellness, because I have this dream and this kind of this vision to have family members, you know, send their spouses or partners away, you know, for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or, you know, whatever the swing is, and not just have them come back remunerated handsomely for their efforts and their hard work, but also at the same time be healthy, be fit, and be happier, so that when they come back, their partners are like, well, fuck, let's just send them away for longer, right? They're, you know, he or she has got a smile on their face. They've lost some weight. They're really enjoying their time on site, and they're making good money as well. And that's really the vision that I have, and I absolutely believe it is possible. Although I do not believe that transition and that change is going to be easy, which is why I need the help and support of my listeners and anyone tuning into this. Just by sharing this podcast with people, your mates and friends on FIFO, really goes a long way to kind of getting that message out there. But without further ado, guys, welcome to episode 11. If you are a new listener, welcome to the FIFO Fit Podcast Show. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Appreciate everyone's support. Today, we are going to delve into a topic that is a little bit controversial. In fact, I wouldn't even say it's a little bit controversial. I'd say it is absolutely controversial. However, it is trending on the way up, meaning that it is becoming more and more acceptable to talk about, which is an absolute great thing. And of course, I'm talking about the mental health crisis that is plaguing the FIFO and the mining community. And I want to be very clear before we kind of dive into the nuts and bolts of this, guys, and I share with you my thoughts and experiences in this matter. I want to be very clear that I am no mental health expert. My thoughts that I'll be sharing with you are just from my observation in the industry, and I've my personal experience with depression. Although it was a short bout, I certainly have experienced, at least to some degree, the challenges of mental health. And I know that a lot of people who are tuning into this have as well. So I think that the first thing that I want to kind of get very clear, and actually the reason that this came up was there was an article written in ABC, on the ABC website, about an absolute tragedy in the mining town Karratha, where over a four-week period, six people took their lives. And while the article didn't directly link to FIFO or mining, obviously Karratha is a mining town, and I wrote a comment piece and kind of posted that around about my sharing my thoughts on what was actually going on and why I thought having six people take their lives in the space of 4 weeks, having anyone take their life, but particularly when the numbers start climbing and in a shorter period of time, that's a very alarming statistic that cannot and should not be swept under the rug. And I shared my thoughts around this and basically just was calling out not just the industry, but I share my thoughts on how, like, obviously this is a very complex problem that needs to be addressed at every single level. This needs to be addressed on an industry level. This challenge and problem needs to be addressed on a company and corporate level. And this challenge needs to be addressed on an individual level. Every single level needs to take responsibility for this for this problem, because this is not just about, you know, it's it's great to you know, as I put in the post, it's great to like comments and raise a beer to our fallen comrades, right? But that's not, that's, you know, lip service isn't fucking doing justice, right? We have to be taking action. And right now, I do not believe enough is being done to support our friends, our mates, our family members, in helping them get through these issues. And just some of the base statistics here for you guys from, and this is from the statistics from Lifeline. So first of all, for those of you who don't know, the number one killer of men in Australia is suicide. The number one killer of men between the ages of 15 and 44 years old is suicide. That means that 6 men per day are taking their own life. 6 men per day. And the statistics are saying on Lifeline, they're saying that for every suicide, there are 30 attempts at suicide. For every suicide, there are 30 attempts. We are failing our friends. We are failing our mates. We are failing our family members by sitting idly by and not doing enough, you know, and not taking enough action to solve this problem. And part of the issue, of course, is the absolute complexity of this. You know, this really, mental health really wasn't, you know, and it's, and right now it's still not, but it's getting there, really an accepted, particularly with men, which is why it's such a big deal, not really an accepted issue, right? It's just because there's a lack of understanding around what's actually going on and what mental health is and how it can actually affect people. And for a long time, and even still today, it is considered to being weak, right? It, actually coming up and sharing about it, there's a huge taboo around mental health because men believe that if they're suffering from depression or mental health challenges, that they are considered weak. And this is absolutely not the case. And I'd actually share with you a different way of thinking about it. Guys, if we had... If you just swapped out, instead of saying mental health, you said cancer, right? Or brain cancer, it would probably be a better way to describe it. If you started to think of people, and obviously I don't want this to be the literal way to think of this, but metaphorically, if you thought, if someone had came to you and they said that they had brain cancer, you would take that a fuckload more seriously. Particularly the people who are denying it or are being ignorant towards the realities of mental health. You know, if you start to think of mental health as a brain cancer, metaphorically, of course, then it can, in a lot of people's minds, make it a lot more real. That's a real thing that a lot of people understand. People understand cancers. It's a growth. It's an abnormality. It's a real health issue, and you know, that's really how we need to be addressing this. We need to understand that this is real, and we need to be approaching this and tackling this because we are losing people. And you know, how this translates to the mining industry and how this translates to FIFO is that you know, in my research as I was digging around, I'm like, okay, cool. Is, you know, suicide is the number one cause of death in men between the ages of 15 and 44. We know that, right? But is this a bigger deal in the mining community, or is it just because the mining community is a relatively small and kind of a tight knit community compared to, let's say, other industries? Is this actually a bigger deal in mining, or is this, or is it just because it gets more hype, or because it, you know, word travels fast in the mining community? And the answer to that question is it absolutely is a significant issue by a factor of 2 compared to other industries. The suicide rate in the mining industry is twice that of the next highest industry, suicide rate in industry. It's twice that, and the second is farming and agriculture. But the top rate by a factor of 2 is the mining industry. And this is a huge, huge deal. And as I share this, you know, for those of you who are tuning in, obviously all of my listeners are in the FIFO and the mining community. hence the name. I have conversations with my clients on a week-to-week basis, and I hear about the challenges and the friends that they've lost, or how they've lost another person on site or whatever it may be. This shit is real and it's happening, and obviously you don't need me to tell you that, but it's an absolute tragedy every single time this happens, is because we have failed another mate. We are failing our friends. And again, something needs to be done about that. So now that we understand the problem, we understand that it's real, we understand that this is happening, and we understand this is actually a larger scale issue, and it's having more of a prevalence, or there's more of a prevalence of suicide, particularly in the mining community. What are the current state of solutions? What are the current state of interventions into solving this problem? And right now, there are I've been able to identify at least three different methods that we're using right now to intervene and save a life. And really, the very first thing, and this is a critical in every intervention method, is obviously awareness, right? Talking about the problem, bringing the problem to light, discussing this, and having open conversations about this, right? Because as I touched on earlier, awareness precedes change. If we don't know about a problem, we can't solve it. We can't change the problem. So the very first thing is being able to talk openly about it, and actually talking openly about it, particularly without judgment. And this is a huge, huge issue, because as I was talking about this post that I wrote up, which actually ended up going viral, it had over 300 comments and about 100 shares in the space of 24 hours. While there was a lot of support on this particular post that I wrote, there was also still a lot of negativity, which really goes towards showing the extent of the problem and the ignorance towards the issue, where you have these really, macho, manly men, as I'm sure they like to think of themselves, saying, harden the fuck up, or move the fuck on, or if you don't like it, get the fuck out, and all this kind of stuff. And while to some degree there is this, if you can't handle the realities of FIFO, and I want to talk to you guys about the challenges of FIFO, which, I'm sure a lot of you already know this, but I want to kind of break them down. While I would agree that there is, to some extent, FIFO is certainly not for everyone, this is not the way to be handling mental health issues, and this is only exacerbating the problem, not helping to solve the problem. Ignorance towards these issues is not going to help people to get a better understanding, to go, okay, hey, you're right, maybe this is not for me. And in a lot of cases, and the vast majority of cases, it's very difficult for someone who has mental health conditions to think rationally. And it's as for them, it's not as simple as just getting out or whatever it may be, particularly if there are financial stresses and all these different kind of issues there as well. But the point I'm trying to make here is that there is still a lot of ignorance towards this in the industry, but which just goes to show the extent of the problem, right? This is something that we need to be talking about this more, and having logical conversations with people, particularly on the internet. Don't get into, I would highly recommend, don't get into argumentative and fights and inflammatory conversations in the comment section of posts and things like that. Address the arguments with logic, right? Because, if there are these idiots out there who try to just pull people down, or just people who are super ignorant. If you try to fight fire with fire with these individuals, they're just going to, a fool will drag you down and to his level and beat you with experience, right? So, have logical debates about this, because in doing so, this will help to sway the narrative in the correct direction, which is absolutely critical. So awareness is one of the intervention strategies, which is absolutely necessary. And then on the far end of the spectrum, we also have, we have Lifeline, right? Where we have suicide supports and suicide lifelines, which are absolutely critical. And they are the final, and oftentimes they are the final line of defense to someone who is about to take their own life. And absolutely necessary, absolutely critical. And I commend and applaud the people on the other end of these phone lines for the work that they do, the job that they do. That is, they are literally saving lives. They are saving the lives of our mates, friends, family members, you name it, every single day, just by having these conversations with them. And that is an enormous responsibility. That is an enormous amount of negative energy that these people take on a day-to-day basis. And honestly, I don't think they get enough recognition and acknowledgement from the rest of us. So I just want to kind of put it out there and say a huge respect and admiration for the people, not just with Lifeline, any support line service, any suicide prevention service. I commend you and respect you for the work that you do. Thank you so much. But also there's in the middle, you know, so we've got the start, you know, awareness. And then we have at the very end, we have, you know, suicide intervention, suicide hotlines. What do we have in the middle to solve the problem? We have access to counseling. We have access to support, which are absolutely critical. But we know that a lot of the times, particularly with men, we're not putting up our hands. We're not reaching out and asking for help because of the taboo, right? And obviously we can sway this with having the right kind of conversations, the awareness campaigns, and obviously changing the mindset and the way that we look at mental health and having it become accepted as a real health issue, which it is. But the issue is a lot of people aren't putting up their hand, right? Not only that, but even with counseling support, it's one thing to talk about it and actually address it and have those conversations, but it's another thing entirely to actually solve the problem and reduce the markers of depression and reduce the markers of mental health conditions. And honestly, this is the huge chunk of the problem that I believe is being neglected. And I don't know if it's being neglected out of ignorance, and I highly doubt that, but it is being neglected nonetheless, right? There is this huge, huge gap in the middle between awareness and suicide prevention hotlines and helplines. And the only support that we have in the middle is counseling services, right? I propose, and my suggested interventions to this, we know for a fact that the most effective ways to reduce the markers of depression are through adequate sleep, regular exercise, and quality nutrition. This is not debatable. This is not speculation. These are facts that have been proven time and time and time again, that by getting enough sleep every single night is one of the most, if not the most effective ways to reduce the instance and the markers of depression. Regular exercise is another extremely effective way, you know, getting into a regular exercise routine. I want to be very clear here as well, and I should probably change exercise routine to training routine. Just because you walk around on site and you're bending over and standing up and moving heavy objects, that is not the same as actually training your body, right? Just because you're moving around a lot, that's not the same as actually training your body. I want to be very clear, because a lot of people that I talk to, a lot of people, particularly in construction and mining, you know, they're saying, well, I move around a lot and rah-rah-rah, so therefore I'm exercising and fit and healthy. It's like, no. If you're moving around a lot, like, your body is an incredible adaptation machine, right? So think of you going for a 5-kilometer walk. You know, when you first do it, it might be tough, but after, you know, about the fourth or fifth time, your body adapts to it and gets really good at doing that particular piece of exercise or work. And therefore, there's no more, the body doesn't adapt to any more changes, right? Because there's nothing stimulating the body to change. So your body gets really good at that and gets used to doing that piece of exercise, right? So if you're doing the same kind of exercise every single day, like walking and all this kind of stuff, you're not challenging your body to grow, and therefore you're not getting the vast amounts of benefits that that proper training actually has to provide, right? You need to get yourself into a regular training routine where you're actually stimulating the body in different ways, which are causing adaptations, which is really where the real growth occurs and the real benefits of training are going to occur. So moving your body is not while great, and it's certainly better than not moving your body, is not as effective as actually training your body effectively. And then finally, of course, quality nutrition. Guys, our bodies are complex chemistry, you know, walking, moving, organic chemistry sets. And particularly on FIFO, and this is really where some of the primary issues kind of start to come in as well. In the mining community, you know, you're working crazy long days, like 12 to 14 hour days. You're working in extreme conditions, doing really physical work, right? And these are just a few of the challenges that that really lead to the degradation of your bodies, right? You're pushing your bodies to the absolute physical limits, right? I would argue that people on FIFO, that workers on FIFO, particularly the ones who have physical jobs, are athletes, right? I would argue that. But you're certainly not treating your body like an athlete. For the most part, you're certainly not feeding or nourishing or recovering your body like an athlete would. And while there are certain parameters that make a lot of these things certainly more difficult than otherwise being at home, for example, you know, less opportunity, less sleep opportunity, right? Or less access to gym, or less access to the best nutrition. But there is certainly room for improvement for that is supplied for on the majority of campsites for, you know, over 95% of people. There is absolutely huge room for improvement, and enough improvement for them to be able to see some absolute positive changes in not just in their physicality, but certainly in mental health as well. And the reason that I dig so far into this, guys, is that, again, we are taking an individual and putting them into an incredibly challenging environment, which isn't just wrought with physical challenges, but you're also taking an individual, for the most part, who is a kinesthetic learner. What this means is tradies and construction workers are people who use their hands a lot, right? They are people who learn by doing. They learn, like my dad is a kinesthetic learner. You know, he's always learned by using his hands, and he's in construction. He's a carpenter, right? We are taking people who communicate more effectively and learn with their hands, and separating themselves from their home environment, from their families back at home, making communication and isolation a real issue. And then we're also working them into the ground and having them under recover so that their body is not getting what they need. So you have this huge disconnection from family and this huge isolation on site. Then you have poor health, poor quality lifestyle while on site. Although there is opportunity for a far superior quality of life on site, but the culture on site does not dictate that, which makes it a hell of a lot harder. And all of these factors combined are what is leading to these serious issues around mental health on site. And so when I hear these instances and I see the statistics, while I am shocked and heartbroken, I am certainly not surprised, particularly from the conversations that I've been having. So my proposal to change, my intervention strategies to change, and I'm calling out all levels in mining. I'm talking about, again, corporate. I'm talking about the industry as a whole. I'm talking about corporate, and I'm also talking about the individual responsibility. You, the individual on site, having the listener here as well, having the responsibility to make these changes. Here are my proposed changes. Number one, I believe that there should be a proper screening process upon induction, right? And it was actually interesting when I was typing this in the comment section of the article that I wrote, the I was surprised and also ecstatic to hear that there are certain companies already implementing this, some kind of psychological assessment prior to starting work in the mining community. I believe this is an absolutely necessary and critical piece of technology, not even technology, but screening process that needs to be implemented upon induction, right? We need to be able to, at least to some degree, identify who is at higher risk of mental health conditions, right? If we know this is this problem is killing people, real people, our mates, and removing them from our lives, we have a responsibility, even if this means turning people away from the industry. Hey, cool, we don't believe you're too high risk. We don't believe this is the right industry for you. We don't believe that this is in your best interest to take on this role and take on this job, right? You know, you are at risk to yourself and you are at risk to those around you. We have to have those hard conversations. You know, that's a lot of pain in the short term, but it's certainly like if we can save a life because of it, then we have a responsibility to you know, companies have a responsibility to do that. And I don't just mean like one screening process. I believe this should be done on a regular basis. I don't know how regular. We need experts to come in and determine that, but you know, maybe every quarter, every 6 months. If there's been a crisis that's going on in the family, something like that, there needs to be some kind of follow-up measure, some kind of analysis done on a regular basis to help to identify the individuals that are at a higher risk. I believe this is absolutely critical to mitigating and helping to reduce the instance of this problem. Another huge change that I believe needs to happen is addressing the huge chunk of the middle of this problem, which is having a healthy lifestyle, having a healthy camp lifestyle. And I believe this needs to be incentivized by the companies. This needs and what I mean by this is having some kind of metrics, having some way to actually track and measure whether or not employees are following through and getting into a regular healthy routine. For example, you know, I did a sleep study, a sleep analysis, where I sent out an anonymous survey a couple of weeks ago, where I asked the FIFO community, how many hours of sleep are they getting on day shift, on night shift, and if this particular individual was operating heavy equipment, you know, heavy machinery. And the results that I got back were absolutely stunning. I had, there was 95%, it was just over 95% of the 500 people who filled out the survey were operating on less than 7 hours of sleep. Which may not seem like a massive issue for a lot of people who, you know, a lot of people saying, well, you know, I've been operating on less than 5 hours of, and that's like a point of pride for them. It's like, well, the statistics show that this is a huge, huge issue for your health around heart attacks, around obesity, around, again, mental health conditions. And I'll read a quote from this phenomenal book that I was reading. It's basically called Why We Sleep. And man, what I learned from that was some absolutely mind-blowing facts around sleep. And I'll give you the statistics here. Adults 45 years or older who sleep fewer than 6 hours a night are at a 200% more likely to have a heart attack or stroke during their lifetime as compared to those sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night. So if you're 45 years and over and tuning in and listening to this and you're getting less than 6 hours a night, you're at 200% more likely to have a heart attack in your lifetime, which is a tragedy in and of itself as well, right? And there are others as well. And here's another one. For as long as the state of insufficient sleep lasts, which is defined by getting less than 7 hours of sleep, by the way, and this accounts for 95% of the people who filled out the survey, for some time thereafter, the body remains stuck in some degree of a fight or flight state. It can last for years in those with an untreated sleep disorder, such as sleep apnea, and excessive work hours that limit sleep or its quality, or the simple neglect of sleep by an individual. Think of it like a car engine that is revving to a shrieking extreme for sustained periods of time. Your sympathetic nervous system is floored into perpetual overdrive by a lack of sleep. So the consequences of this is placed on your body by the persistent force of the sympathetic activation basically leaks out into all manner of different health issues, right? So it's like the car having failed pistons or gaskets or seals and gnashing gears of an abused car engine, right? If you're not getting adequate sleep, that's defined as getting less than 7 hours of sleep per night, this is going to manifest to a whole number of degree of other health problems. Your body is failing, right? So that is just a taste of what is happening if you're not getting enough sleep, adequate sleep on a night-to-night basis. And there are a lot of people who would hear argue and say, hey, cool, well, on my side, on my particular gig, they don't allow us to get enough sleep, or we work too long, or whatever it may be. And while in some instances and cases that is the case, and most I have found that particularly the clients that I've worked with, we have been able to find a way for them to actually get in there, get adequate sleep, particularly at least 7 hours of sleep a night, and be able to make that happen. But for those of you who literally can't because they're working too long or whatever it may be, this is again where I believe we need to incentivize healthy habits and healthy metrics like this, or the company or even the industry needs to incentivize these metrics. And what I mean by that is, like, if you are getting adequate sleep every single night, then you should get a pay raise, right? If you're getting 7 hours of sleep every night, and this can be tracked by, for example, a smartwatch on your, which you can get very cheaply. I think you can order them in bulk or something. The companies could order them in bulk, and you could have a wrist strap that would track your sleep. There are companies in Canada who are doing this right now, where if their employees are getting an average of 7 hours of sleep a night, they get a pay raise, they get a pay bonus. That's just one instance. For example, exercise. If the employees, or you, the employee, are exercising at least, going to the gym and actually training, differing from exercise, at least 3 or 4 times a week, then there should be an incentive for that, right? If your health metrics, for example, if your BMI, actually scrap that, BMI is a horrible way to track your health. If your body fat percentage or your lean muscle mass is around a certain point, or is within the healthy metrics guidelines, then there should be an incentive for that, right? It doesn't have to be pay. It could be something else. It could be more holidays. It could be time, whatever it may be. But these things need to be incentivized. Why? Not only will it save, like literally save lives, right? Because we are driving our employees. We are driving individuals to literally have their bodies break down on them. Some people's bodies break down on them through obesity and other health issues. Some people's bodies break down by their mind breaking down, which comes up as mental health conditions, right? Like people's bodies are breaking down because they are under recovering on FIFO, combined with the disconnection from family. All of these factors come in and are contributing to the problem. And we, in order to change this, we need to change the culture. We need to change the way that we do things on site. And the huge benefits, by the way, to what I'm actually talking about here, are not just having a healthy and happy workforce, right? Where, you know, people are excited to show up to work every day and actually, you know, do the job. But you're also talking about a more productive workforce. You're talking about a workforce that is going to get more shit done in the time that you allow them versus, you know, having people who are literally sleeping on the job, who are literally, you know, operating at 50, 60% of what they can actually operate because they are under recovering and we are just pushing them to the absolute limits. You know, and I know a lot of people look at it like this, but right now the individuals on site are being treated like they're a product, like they, you know, they can just be thrown away, and you know, not acceptable, not okay. So things need to change. And those are just a few of the ways that we could change these things. And right now, FIFO Fit is working to do that. You know, we have developed corporate wellness programs that we actually come in and implement these very changes, healthy lifestyle changes, which we can track, and we can actually track the metrics of these changes taking place. We can actually track people going from point A to point B. You know, we can track the metrics of particularly around their physical and even mental wealth, mental well-being, by improving their lifestyle habits while on site, which again is not just leading to them, you know, enjoying their job and their occupation more while on site and being happier overall, but they're also being more productive. They're stepping up as leaders. They're solving problems more effectively, and we have you know, testimonial after testimonial talking about this and talking about the changes that we are making at all levels, from operators to engineers to supervisors to project managers, COOs, you know, everyone in between. It is making a huge difference to their happiness, their health, both on site and when they're back at home. And it is leading to a better overall outcome for everyone in the industry. So those are my thoughts on, you know, the current state of mental health and health issues in general on FIFO, and you know, what is currently being done and what I believe needs to be done to actually see a real change. And I believe, again, it does start with awareness. We need to be talking about this more and really getting this out there. But, you know, doing lip service isn't enough. We need to be taking action. We need to be taking real action now. Because we are losing the lives of our brothers, our sisters, our, you know, mates and family members. And as someone so eloquently put it, you know, suicide is the easy way out. It's the ones that you leave behind that are the ones that have to deal with it for the rest of their lives. And, you know, they have to, you know, take on that energy for the rest of their lives. And that's not a great place. That's not a place that anyone ever wants to be in. So that's the end of this podcast episode, guys. I hope you learned a hell of a lot about what's going on. And you know, if you have any thoughts on this and kind of want to share your thoughts, or you agree with me or disagree with me, or you have you know, more some input that you want to give to me about how you think things could change, or how things could be implemented, and how you see the problem, I would love to hear that from you. Feel free to just post up on the FIFO Fit Facebook page, or you can reach FIFO Fit through any different means. We're all over social medias, guys, so if you just hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, at FIFO Fit _, and every social media page in between, would love to hear your thoughts. But apart from that, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in to this episode of the FIFO Fit Podcast Show. I've been your host, Cam Wild. Looking forward to touching base with you guys very shortly. Bye for now.